All right, welcome back to Technology for Business Sake. I'm on the CEO streak here because I just got finished talking to Amos Winbush. He was a young guy, only 28 years old, and he's doing great things with CyberSyncs. Talked to Team Zwo of Zuora, another guy who I've known since his Salesforce days, is doing some really interesting things. And now I'm going to finish it up with a guy I've known for about 6 years. Is it six years. The company HubSpot was founded about, wait a minute, is this 6 or 7 years? It must be
six years.
Okay, I know it's like June or July of 2006, and I received an email from Mr. Brian Halligan, who was just one of the guys who was reading the blog. I think one of the two guys that was reading the blog at the time, and he sent me an email, and I was like, yeah, this is really cool. The guy reached out, and so I can say I've seen this company go from two guys to over 300 guys and gals and over 6,000 customers. Mr. Brian Halligan, thank you for joining me today.
Brent, it's a pleasure, my friend.
I get kind of misty thinking of what I saw, and I was just an outsider looking in. What, take me back to the early days. Could you have imagined 6 years ago that you would have 6,000 customers, 300-plus employees, you're buying companies, you're getting invested in by companies like Google and Salesforce? Could you said, yeah, I could have seen that.
Even a blind squirrel finds a nut, and we found one. We had a very good idea, it turned out. We saw a big shift in the way humans were kind of living and buying and shopping, and the basic idea was marketers need to change to adjust to that. So it worked out great. It's worked out great, and I feel like we're in the second inning of the game. A lot more work to do.
I had a chance to do a conference down here called Social Biz Atlanta, and your then VP of marketing, Jean Hopkins, was down, and she presented. She did a great job, and she mentioned a stat that I still, it's hard for me to believe. You guys get 45,000 leads each month?
That is true, yeah, 45,000, and 99% of them are inbound leads, and that's the power of inbound marketing, it turns out, is we create lots and lots of content. Each piece of content is like a magnet that pulls in leads, and it scales incredibly well. So the stuff we produced 4 or 5 years ago is still pulling in leads today. We turned our website into a hub on the internet, essentially.
Some of the numbers are really staggering. I remember I did a webinar with you guys back in 2009. And I was blown away because you actually had 6,300 folks register and about 2,700 folks attend. And I thought I was hot stuff. I mean, I felt really good. Tell me what has been the webinar that has driven the most registrations. Give us the number and the actual number of attendees, because this is going to blow people's minds.
Well, first of all, you are hot stuff.
Thank you, sir.
We broke the Guinness Book of World Records for the largest webinar ever, and I don't have the exact numbers right, but I think we had 30-something thousand registrants and 20-something thousand attendees, and I think the title was The Science of Social Media. It was awesome.
That is just that just blows people's minds. It blows my mind, but it blows people's minds. It's like they can't even comprehend that, and I just find that fascinating. When you think about where we are today with how companies are leveraging social media, engaging customers using social media, is it where you would think we'd be today? Are you happy about it, or are you disappointed about it? And just explain whatever the answer is.
Yeah, it's right where I thought it would be. When we first started HubSpot, social media was starting to go, but it was more like Dig and Reddit and sites like that. And it's obviously evolved to Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and Pinterest. It's a whole new cast of characters. But it's the way we thought. We sort of saw this shift in the web from this one-to-many sort of broadcast style to this many-to-many, highly collaborative. We saw this shift in behavior from, you know, all the leverage being in the vendor's hands to the leverage really shifting to the customer's hands or potential customer's hands, where potential customers and customers were talking to each other. And that's one thing we did see. We thought it would be like this. We certainly didn't predict Twitter. We didn't predict Pinterest. But we predicted this wave of change in behavior. And it happened pretty similar to the way we thought.
When you think about the rise, because you guys started in 2006. And like you said, back then it seemed like it was Reddit and Dig,
yeah,
and Stumbled Upon, which I think to a certain extent they're still around and viable. But they just have been kind of overtaken in a lot of people's eyes. by things like Facebook and Twitter. And now you have Pinterest. Can you explain where we are today with, particularly with something like Pinterest that a lot of people still don't know about, but they know that it drives traffic. How is that changing things? Is it on the same line as what a Facebook was like 2 or 3 years ago? Or is it a flash in the pan? I will not hold you to your answer, but I will look back a year from now and say if you're right or wrong. But go ahead and go with that.
The truth is, I don't have any idea. I thought I could predict this stuff, but, you know, the thing that's fascinating about these social media sites is you study in business school about network effects and about barriers to entry, and you assume that a business like Facebook, where they get all these users and the value of the system increases with the number of users and they have all that lock-in, that there's no way that thing falls, but it could fall. I mean, Friendster fell, MySpace fell, Twitter came out of nowhere, Pinterest came out of nowhere. The barriers to entry on these things are lower than we think. I've been shocked. The thing that doesn't shock me is Facebook's rise. The thing that shocked me was Twitter's rise and Pinterest's rise, because I sort of thought, well, people will just do it in Facebook. But it turns out there's room for lots of other social networks in people's lives. It's absolutely fascinating what's going on.
What do you think about Google Plus? A lot of people try to say or try to compare and contrast Facebook versus Google Plus as if there was one social network to rule them all. Do you think that there's room for a Google Plus network, a social network that kind of comes from another dimension? Because Facebook is definitely more traditionally social, but it seems like Google Plus was built on a foundation of Gmail and of the other tools they have. I kind of think they can be complementary, but I'd love to get your take on that.
My take is, I don't think Google Plus is going to make it over the long haul. And what's interesting about these social networks is some kind of cross the chasm and enter mainstream users' lives. Dig and Reddit didn't do that. People who use Dig and Reddit are people who are typically technical, kind of geeked out about this stuff. But Dig and Reddit didn't go into, my mom doesn't use it. Mainstream America doesn't use it.
Right.
Facebook did that. Twitter's kind of really starting to do that, actually. I just don't think Google Plus is going to make that leap. It's too similar in my mind to Facebook, whereas Twitter and Pinterest are quite different. That's my guess. The thing that I think is fascinating about Google Plus is how the Google search results are starting to really use Google Plus's data.
Yeah.
And then you look at the Bing search results are using Facebook and Twitter data. Facebook and Twitter, if Microsoft plays its cards right, that's going to really enhance the search results inside of Bing, and they're going to make them much more personalized and much more social. It'll be interesting to see how that develops over time.
Well, I remember Microsoft was an early investor in Facebook, and I remember when they made the pitch to try to buy the whole thing. And, of course, Zuckerberg, at the time I was like, are you kidding me? Take the money. And then I said, well, they're going public. And now after they're going public, maybe you should have taken the money. No, I'm just kidding. But what do you think? Because Microsoft also, I mean, what do you think about Microsoft and its role in 2012 and beyond? They bought Skype. They have Windows Phone 8 that's coming out. And I'm hearing a lot of good things about it. They have the relationship with Nokia, and they're starting to deal with Lumia and some other things. And then you just mentioned what's going on with Bing and how they've kind of aligned with the other. What do you think of Microsoft's role in the future of social business?
I'm not super bullish on it. You're right, though. They've got some interesting stuff going on, but it just doesn't feel like they've got the momentum or the talent to really put a dent in the universe. It feels like a very mature business, like a GE that kicks off a lot of cash, kicks off a dividend, and I just am not that bullish on them doing something really cool and denting the universe.
Okay.
Are you?
I was at the Microsoft Convergence, and what I heard was intriguing. And when you think about they said they want to be the first company that creates a user experience that crosses form factors. So it'll be the same on your desktop as your laptop, as your mobile device, as your tablets. And so that would be kind of, if they can pull that off and it has the right functionality and the right applications, that is going to be kind of intriguing.
They lost the developers. That's the problem.
maybe they didn't attract the new wave of new age developers that instead of applications, these guys make apps. And so I think they didn't embrace those folks soon enough, but it's hard for me to count them out completely. I want to see what happens a year from now when some of these things that they've invested in, how they rolled out and how they've been received a year from now. But there's another company I really want to get your take on because they've been the company I've said for the last 2 years, they've been my company to watch because they are just doing some really interesting things. What do you think about Amazon's role?
It's the opposite of Microsoft. They just have really big, big ambitions. They're super patient and they make huge bets and they execute so well. I think they're very, very interesting. And I think you're right. I wouldn't count Bezos out of any game. He's so, so smart. And their move into the cloud was very, very interesting, really compelling. And they'll continue to move up the stack on that bet. And that's something to keep an eye on. I think you're exactly right. It's a fascinating company.
Very cool. See, we agree. We agree on a lot of things except for sports because I can't stand any boss. And I would say I feel bad. Just a point of reference, Mr. Halligan is Mr. Boston in my opinion. And he's Mr. Celtic, Mr. Patriot, Mr. Red Sox, and Mr. Whatever, Bruin. And so I know it's been kind of tough these past couple of weeks for you. How are you holding up, sir?
Well, the Celtics are getting me down, feeling a little down about LeBron and Wade kicking my boys' butt. But the Red Sox are playing a little better. They're three games back. They're over 500, $180 million in payroll. It turns out it barely gets you 500 team. Mixed feelings. It's been a great decade for the Boston sports fans like me. If it continues anything like it has in the last decade, I'm going to be very happy, man.
Okay, I had to get
that. I always say, Brent, my mood, I tell people at HubSpot, my mood is a function of two things. It's a function of whether or not the Red Sox won last night, and it's a function of, how many new orders came into HubSpot in that previous day. We call them ding because we ring a little bell when a new order comes in.
Yeah, I was ready to say, it seems like to me, though, you put the Red Sox winning ahead of the dings there.
Yeah, well, it depends. If it's September, October, maybe.
Yeah, or if it's a really big ding. Well, I want to ask you one quick question before I let you go. I know recently you held your first analyst day, and I really wanted to be there, but I was committed to another event. I want to talk about the importance of a company like yours that started out 5 or 6 years ago. You've got all these customers, but now you're kind of swimming upstream, getting some more larger businesses. Why was it a time now to start embracing the analyst / thought leader / influencer community in a more, I guess, formalized process?
Yeah. Well, when we started HubSpot, it was about helping businesses get leads. And it worked. People who use HubSpot get tons of leads. And then what our customers started saying is we need help converting leads to customers. How do you do segmentation and nurturing? How do you get much smarter about that stuff? So we bought a company that did that really well, and we just announced it a couple weeks ago. It turns out that lead management functionality is very valuable to kind of mid-sized and larger companies, and it turns out those mid-sized and larger companies listen to analysts like you, Brent. So we said, let's invite Brent and his pals from Forrester and all the different analyst firms up to tell them about it. And it was our first run at it, and I thought it went pretty well. It was interesting for us because we hadn't engaged the analyst community at all. But I think it was a good use of our time.
I think so, from looking at some of the things I saw. And say, I know I got briefed beforehand, so I kind of knew what you guys were up to anyway. But I think it's a smart move, what you guys are doing. I always point to you guys as my poster child for how you grow a small business. And I was calling you guys a social CRM company before you even thought of being a social CRM company. I just want to make sure I get the credit for that.
You were sort of the first person outside of my co-founder and I who got HubSpot.
Wow, I got this on. I got this recorded too, so that's good to have. I just thought you guys were great. And if you had been in a city like Atlanta, maybe I'd be working for you guys.
Still time, right? Still time.
I like it down here, man. I and plus I could never root for the Celtics.
Yeah.
like Brian Halligan, CEO of HubSpot. Hey, man, it's a pleasure having you on. I hope we could get you on again some point. Maybe even get you down to Atlanta and have you face-to-face in here.
That'd be great.
All right, man. Take care. I'm going to have to say this is the end of another episode of Technology for Business Sake. You got to come back next week. There'll be another one. Take care.